we are each in different stages in our lives. Some are single. Some are in grade school. Some of you are married. Some of you are married without kids yet. And some of you are married with kids. And some are married with grown kids that have left the house, all in different situations. Some of us are widows or widowers. In each stage in our life, we have multiple challenges or problems that we will face. Things go wrong, sometimes things go right. So think about this week. What went right? What went well? What's going to make you smile? And there are other things that happened in this week that maybe make you cry, that are very difficult. In each case, we are being challenged. We're being challenged with the obstacles within our own life. Let's say you have children at school. Well, they're in public schools. Well, how do you handle some of the things that are being taught? How about financial issues? We all have some financial issues just based upon the inflation rate and how expensive things are now. How about health issues? As we get older, we get more and more health issues. How do we deal with those issues? In each of these cases, in the problems that we come into contact in our lives, it's usually a physical issue, and we tend to want to deal with that physical issue. But there's also an emotional component involved. You know, the emotional component is just a result, even of something as simple as a flat tire will be an emotional, results in an emotional issue. You're upset. Well, there is also, although you don't inherently realize it, there is a spiritual issue too. There is a spiritual growth issue. Because some of the things that are affecting you are not just affecting you because of a physical cause or an emotional result of that cause, but also a spiritual effect upon you. Now, if you have a financial issue and you're really worried about finances, it's going to not just affect you emotionally and financially, but spiritually. Same thing with health issues, especially with health issues. We tend to be closer, try to be closer to God for healing on health issues. But in each of these things, the spiritual effect can be positive as spiritual growth, or it could be negative as we try and solve our problems ourselves and neglect prayer and Bible study. And that leads to the title of this split sermon, which is The Show Must Go On. And regardless of the problems that you faced this past week, both good and some things not problems, good things that might have happened, you got a raise, let's say, you're going on. You'll go on for as long as you live. And you will deal with this for as long as you will live. The show will go on. But today, what I want to do is focus on the spiritual effects and the spiritual growth that comes from various trials. Because all of our life's challenges, good and bad, they all have a physical, emotional, and most importantly, a spiritual component. And the point is that in our lifetime, the physical problems will pass. The emotional problems will either be gone or they'll become less intense, as in the case of death. The memories we may have will be very intense when a loved one dies, but less intense as time progresses. But they're all here. And what we will take with us is the spiritual growth. because the spiritual growth is what we take into the kingdom. The spiritual growth goes beyond the grave, and that is the only thing we take beyond the grave. So let's take a look at some examples in the Bible. And the first one is one that I'm sure you're all very familiar with, Peter's denial of Jesus Christ. Well, here he was in the courtyard. Jesus was having his mock trial, and servant girl comes up to him. Well, says, "You were one of them." And he says, "No." Well, physically, she came up to him. That's the physical part. Emotionally, Peter was scared. He didn't want to end up crucified like Jesus, so he lied. Spiritually, what happened to him, though? He went into a deep depression, and he totally repented of it and became an apostle and a great leader in the church. But there's a lesson here. When we face problems, we may have hit a fail, but then we can get back up and recoup and get back the spiritual growth. Interesting one is the story of Gideon, beginning in Judges 6, verses 11, but it's several chapters, so I'm not going to read several chapters. But the point is that here Israel had been defeated by Midian, and was now a slave state. Now, Gideon was essentially a powerless individual, and God told him, go raise an army, attack the Midianites, and defeat them. He said, whoa, wait a minute. Now, imagine if you were in that position, right? We'll use something common for now. All of a sudden, you have this dream and said, God says, I'm going to give you power. You're going to be president of the United States in the next year. Say, whoa, wait a minute. That's impossible. Well, it's impossible for you. It's not impossible for God. And it was, from Gideon's point of view, impossible for him to raise an army and defeat an organized army with raw recruits. And so he lacked the faith to do it. Emotionally, he was scared. Physically, he knew what he had to do. Emotionally, he was scared. And spiritually, he needed to be strengthened. And so he asked God, well, twice, once, keep the fleece dry and the ground wet in the morning so the dew is on the ground and not on the fleece. And then he said, well, keep the fleece wet and not the ground dry. But ultimately, Gideon grew spiritually after his setback. And he was able to have faith when his army was cut from 30,000 down to 300 and he had to attack an entire army. But he had the faith because he knew it was God who was really leading the attack, and he was just a physical representation of the commander. Let me give a third example. I think this is the most interesting, and this is Samson. The life of Samson is very interesting because he could be a Marvel comic book hero. And he was given superhuman strength and protection. No other judge, no other prophet was given physical strength like Samson. They were all made known that it was God's strength that was protecting them. But Samson was different. He was given the strength, so you have the strength now to protect yourself. So how are you going to do with it? Well, long and short, when he started out, he didn't do very well. Physically, he was attracted to a Philistine woman, Delilah. Well, that was a bad idea because Israelites were not supposed to marry Philistines. But emotionally, he was blinded to that, so he married Delilah. Well, he got a spiritual fail on that because what happened was he was ultimately captured. His hair was cut off. He lost his strength. He was blinded. And he was forced to act like a mule and turn a grinding wheel. That's a fail. With all that he was given, the super strength he was given, he didn't do very well. Until, as he was humbled, he repented. He grew in strength. He's mentioned as a man of faith in Hebrews 11, so he overcame that. Now, each of these individuals faced massive problems. In our life, I doubt if we are facing the kind of problems that these individuals faced. But you are facing problems, correct? Nothing has been really easy. You're not floating along. Oh yeah, I don't have to worry about inflation. I don't have to worry about my job. Everything's cool. Fine, it doesn't happen that way. And we all tend to again deal with that physical. And we're emotionally affected, but we better be involved with the spiritual component of this. Are we getting closer to God, or are we drifting away? Each of our life challenges can yield spiritual growth if we use the talents that God has given to us. The issue that God is concerned about for us is our spiritual growth, because I mentioned that's the only thing that's going to carry on past death into the kingdom of God. That's it. Our physical bodies are gone. Whether we were happy or sad, whether we got a flat tire or not, is all immaterial. It's our spiritual growth. That's the person that you are, that you will become. Because one is never spiritually mature. It is a process. It is a process of growth. It's not an end, it's a journey. So, are you focusing on your shortcomings and building your strengths? Am I doing that? The good news for all of us is that we are still here. And the fact that we're here means that we are working on our spiritual growth. We know people who are not. But when we face obstacles is when we will grow spiritually. Let's take a look at some of the people in the Bible again. Moses is an interesting person. Because he was chosen by God to lead Israel. Well, he didn't want the job. And he said, pick someone else. Okay, I see the burning bush. I see, this doesn't look like a good thing. I made a shot at it with that it killed that Egyptian. It didn't work out well. I don't think I want to do this. And so God said, nah, you're going to do it. He said, well, I can't. Moses was good with excuses. He had a skill with excuses, but none of them were working. He said, I can't speak. Okay, your brother will speak. What actually happened was that he ended up doing most of the speaking, as you read in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Numbers. He was actually doing most of the speaking, but God kind of calmed him down on that. But what were the talents that he had? The talents were he was humble. He took instruction, and he was very teachable. For instance, when his father-in-law suggested, hey, you're trying to take on too much for yourself, why don't you farm some of it out? And he did, which actually reduced his own power. So he made a sacrifice. He said, I don't want as much power. I'm going to give the power to some of the others to make the decisions, so I'll have more time. And he used the time actually to grow closer to God. Now, he also must have been a great organizer, because he didn't have any modern communications. He didn't have social media. He didn't have cell phones, smartphones, TV, anything. He managed to get between 2 and 3 million people to move all in one shot together in an organized fashion. Okay? That's the city of Chicago. Now imagine if God told you to say, okay, I want you to move the entire city of Chicago in 6 months to Indiana. Move them all in one group and in order. You say, whoa, wait a minute. That isn't going to work. But he did it. He knew how to organize it and do it. So that is really impressive. And he went from someone who, when he saw the burning bush, was afraid of God to God's friend. And not many people will God call his friend. That's pretty impressive. That's impressive spiritual growth. Something that we can need to work on. Let's take a look at Daniel. Daniel was a captive. He was a slave. It doesn't take a lot of brains to figure out it's not good to be a slave. And it's not good to be a captive war captive slave. He was probably a eunuch also, because that's tended to what happened to slaves. And he had a tyrannical boss, Nebuchadnezzar, who killed people just like that. He had no respect for human life at all. Well, that's a bad combination. You don't want that. But Daniel had talent. First, he had great faith. Second, he was calm under pressure. Calm under pressure usually comes with faith, because it's very easy to panic when things go wrong. But to be calm means you have faith that you know the show's going to go on. God's going to be with me with this if I'm close to God. The qualifier, if and when I am close to God. He was, he was loyal. He was smart. He was able to reason with people. And note that he's one of the top three men of faith listed in the Bible, and that's in Ezekiel 14:14. We're not going to read it, but he's listed with Noah and Job. So Daniel came out on top of Moses and Abraham, some of the great patriarchs. Daniel is an impressive man. He survived three different kings, where normally a king would kill the previous advisors worrying about insurrection. But he survived that, and he survived the lion's den, all on his faith, all through spiritual growth, which is how he got into the top three. Now, we can look also at Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. We see a lot of spiritual growth there. He started out cheating his brother out of his birthright and blessing, and lying to get it, to ultimately to become a patriarch. Yeah, he was shrewd. There's a talent with that. He was a good businessman. He did grow in wisdom as time went on, and he used his talents wisely. Ultimately, he himself was cheated and learned what it was like to be cheated. He learned to be wise in dealing with his brother Esau, because he had cheated his brother. And he grew through all of this. And his name was changed to Israel. And he was blessed. Joseph was another interesting one, because he started out as an arrogant and spoiled child. Right, he was bragging, you guys are going to bow to me. I am so great. And he was severely humbled. And you can even argue unfairly. He was sold into slavery. He got out of the slavery, and he was in charge of a house, and he got thrown into a dungeon for being righteous, of all things. He didn't deserve that. But each time, as he went through these various trials, he was growing spiritually. Now, he had every good reason to take vengeance on his brothers when things changed, but he didn't, because he had grown spiritually. He had faith, he had forgiveness. You can turn to Genesis 50, verse 20. And if you read Genesis 50, verse 20, see an amazing thing. This is the guy who was arrogant, and who was putting his brothers down, saying how great he was. And now in Genesis 50:20, he's saying, "But as for you," his brothers, "you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now therefore do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. And these are the people who threw him in a ditch and sold him into slavery. Now you see the spiritual growth of Joseph and the talents that he had, where he started with nothing as a slave. Well, what talents do you have? What are you really good at? You know? What passion do you have? Because your passions tend to indicate the talents that you have. Well, some talents. Music is a talent. Writing, photography, art, programming, math, science. There are a lot of talents. In developing your talents, there are obstacles along the way. And with those obstacles, you will be emotionally affected, but you also will be spiritually affected. And you have to use spiritual growth, use the obstacle to grow closer to God, because you really can't separate the physical, emotional, and spiritual, especially in the church. They are all part of you. So let's say you lack talent in something. I'll pick an example, budgeting. Okay, that's a physical problem, handling the money that you have, especially since now the money is worth a lot less than it was a year ago. So you say, well, that's a physical problem. I don't have enough money, but it's an emotional problem too. Because if you're going to correct the issue and deal with the lack of money, that means you're going to have to postpone or give up things that you wanted to get. You don't want to do that. That's emotionally hard to do. But there's also the spiritual component. You know, why did you want it? Maybe in the spiritual growth, you're overcoming coveting as your spiritual growth factor through this. So let's each look at where we are in our life's journey. What can we change and what is not within our control? Okay, so I'm 75. On my next birthday, I'd like to be 40. That would be a good thing. I'd like to change that and get rid of some of these aches and pains. All the stuff that hurts won't hurt. All the stuff that doesn't work will start working. Yeah, it'd be a good thing, but it isn't going to happen. I don't have that control. If I make it to my next birthday, I will be 76, not 40. But there's no surprise, after the feast, I put on a few pounds. That I have some control over. I also like to go to national parks and hike and explore. I view that as an adventure. Well, those I can control. And in fact, the two kind of work together by building up strength and exercising and hiking. I'm also helping myself to lose weight. But there's also that spiritual component again. I've got to say emotionally, I'm not going to eat this thing. Now I'm in trouble because we've got the dessert table up back there. But so don't look at me as at my weakness. But I have to give that up. But there's also a spiritual component too of overcoming. Now look at you in your life. Where are you in your life? Do you have kids? What can you do to help them mature and help them deal with the environment that they face, which is very different than the environment that you might have faced, and much, much different than the environment that I faced when I was growing up? You know, it's emotional, but there's also a spiritual component here where you need God's help. And the potential for spiritual growth in each of these occurrences is always there and is always important. Because remember, the show's going to go on. Your kids are going to grow. But you're going to grow spiritually through it all. Especially for people in the church. Because we have more knowledge of that spiritual growth than someone who's an atheist who will deny it. You know, we could have made a bonehead mistake. But that's okay, because we know that we can overcome that through God's help and that spiritual growth. It might be something that's just time and chance. It just happened. We never expected it. But same thing, there's a spiritual component there. We need to draw closer to God. We need to be able to grow spiritually through this, that we have faith that we can see it to the end. You know, that's again, show's going on. Maybe we made a sound decision. We were really good about it. I've done this a couple of times, but not too often. But we take in all the information, we make a sound decision, and it doesn't work out. something happened that was totally unexpected, someone left that was critical. Well, it's all, and it emotionally, it affects us, but it also affects us spiritually, because our life is going to go on past this, and we're going to deal with it, and we need God's help to guide us in all of this. Well, I mentioned the spiritual growth. How do we build that spiritual growth? As we deal with each of our life's difficulties. And three steps, actually, in doing it, in building spiritual growth. First, we have to gain understanding. And the verse here is Psalm 119, verse 144. You can turn there if you want. I will read it a little later. In order to have understanding, we have to see the real problem. That's not so easy, because we're really good at excuses. Really good at excuses. And it's worse if we actually believe our excuses. You know, you can make, sometimes there's a difference between an excuse and the truth. The truth is the real reason. The excuse is the one we give. So let's say we have financial problems. Do we have budgeting issues? Or are we in the wrong career path? For instance, let's say we acquired $100,000 in college debt, but the best job we can get with that degree is $50,000. Well, we're not going to be able to pay off that debt. We got a problem. Well, the cause of the problem was bad judgment in getting a degree that wouldn't pay for the college costs. And the result would be poverty trying to pay off the loan. So emotionally, we're discouraged because we can't pay it off. Now, here the spiritual goes two ways. We can become very depressed, neglect prayer, and neglect Bible study, and fall away from God, and we still have our problem. Or we could grow closer to God. He'll give us more understanding of the problem, and he will open a door and put a light above the door that you got to go that way to get out of it. Maybe it'll be he'll open up a job that actually pays enough, or maybe he'll redirect you to a different career. I got redirected to a different career. But there's an issue here, though. The door that's open with the light on top of it may be on top of a mountain, and you got to climb the mountain. And that happens more often than it doesn't. But I mentioned Psalm 119, 144, which says, "Give me understanding, and I shall live." So the first step in spiritual growth, he's right here. God will give us the understanding, we will live, and we have to always trust in God for that understanding, not trust in ourselves. It's the understanding that God gives us. The first step in spiritual growth is the understanding that God will give us. But once we understand the problem's not solved. Now we know the real cause. We've looked past our phony excuses. We've looked past Satan's deceptions and Satan's distractions. And now we know the real cause. So what are we going to do about it? And that's the second point, is God's wisdom. We need the wisdom of God to deal now that we have the understanding of the problem. And the reference here is James 1, verse 5. James 1, verse 5. Which reads, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." That him is you. "But let him," that's you, "ask in faith with no doubting." Okay? So, godly wisdom comes from only God. We have to ask for it. And when God gives it to us, he will show us how to resolve the issue, what steps to take. Now, human wisdom can lead us astray, but godly wisdom is right there. But we need to be close to God in order for him to give us the wisdom. Okay, so now we can put it together so far, the first two steps. First, we get understanding from God of what the problem is. Second, God gives us the wisdom to deal with it, but we still have the problem. The third step is we need godly strength to follow through. And here the reference is Philippians 4, verse 13. You can write it down or you can turn to it. I will read it. Because godly wisdom only works if you use it. I mean, Solomon had more wisdom than all of us. He was the wisest man on earth, but he didn't use it. We need to be close to God. And here, in following through and having the strength to follow through, we must be especially close to God because we need his strength to get through. And I mentioned Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's where the power is coming from. Now, all of the judges and prophets, the apostles, the strength came from God. They just had the faith to follow through with it. Now, we can look at, for example, at David. He was chased by Saul. He was going to be, Saul wanted to kill him. He had an army chasing him. And lo and behold, he went through that, and it lasted for years. And he had an opportunity at two times to kill Saul, but he knew that it was God's will that for him not to do that, that God would take care of it. And he was faithful and strong. He used the strength of God. Sometimes he ran into troubles. For a while, he ran to the Philistines for safety. He didn't really have to do that. God was going to protect him. But he lost faith at that time, which means spiritual growth is never like that. Spiritual growth is going to go more like that. And he came back strong. And the same thing in our lives. We may have lapses where we get really depressed and discouraged and it seems like it's impossible. And so now we're in a trough. But again, through spiritual growth, through faith in God, prayer, and Bible study, that will increase and we'll get past the trough, just as David got past the trough. Just as God intervened for David and saved him, even when he made the mistake of going to the Philistines, in the same way, God will intervene for you. You know, God wants to see what we will do before he can trust us with more. So he's going to have us go through each of these obstacles that we face in our life. He's going to see how we do, to see how we do in a little. And verse to take home with you, Matthew 25, verse 23. Matthew 25, verse 23. And it's a very common one. His Lord said to him, and we could replace him with you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." That's what we each want to hear when we come before judgment. So the problems that we face, whether budget, health, whatever, the loneliness or difficulties, being pushed too far, certain things, in view of the kingdom of God, these are relatively small. My losing a couple of pounds, actually more than a couple, but I don't want to admit that. I'm in denial. But those are each trials that we face. They're little things. But as we grow spiritually, as we become strong spiritually, as Samson was strong physically, That's what God wants to see. And then he can trust us with a lot because he knew that we overcame what we faced. And maybe it wasn't a smooth trajectory, and it won't be. But each time, the peak went higher, and the trough was a little low, wasn't as low. You know, our lives will always have ups and downs, difficulties. We'll have good things and we'll have bad things. I've kind of used the title facetiously. The show must go on. But it's our life that's going on through each of these items, each of these difficulties, each of these good things and bad things, happy and sad. Our life is going to go on and the show is going to go on. It'll go on differently through maybe than what we planned. And that's not uncommon. But through it all, there is a spiritual component. The spiritual component is what we take with us into the kingdom of God. We don't take our aches and pains. We take the spiritual growth. Each of us will face different issues for wherever we are in our own life plan. They'll be physical, emotional, and spiritual. But again, it's the spiritual where God will intervene for us and deliver us through it. There will be a light and a door that opens. And it's God's light. It may be a really steep hill, but it will be there. It will show you the direction. And that spiritual growth, which comes from this, will lead you through and into the kingdom of God.